Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories: how many of Donald Trump's campaign promises could become policy or law, and employers putting more healthcare costs onto employees. Well, so now that Donald Trump has won the 2016 presidential election, how much of his campaign rhetoric will actually become policy or law? Rick Newman, columnist for Yahoo Finance, says the direction of markets and the economy depends on the answer. Rick, how do you see this?
First of all, he wants to get right on reworking some of these trade deals with trading partners such as Mexico and China. He can actually do that without any help from Congress. Now, that doesn't mean he's just going to withdraw from these free trade deals. It means he's going to start negotiations with these countries. He's going to say, one of the things he's going to say is, we want you to buy more stuff from us. We want you to import more things from the United States. And that's a condition. So he wants to boost U.S. exports by basically just leaning on our trading partners and saying, buy more American stuff. He's going to eliminate a lot of regulations, something he can also do without the help of Congress. So I think we can look for that right away. And then things that will require legislation and negotiation in Congress are going to be these tax cuts that he wants for both individuals and businesses. That is not necessarily going to happen quickly, mm-hmm. because even Republicans differ on some of those issues. And then we'll get into some of the other stuff he's talked about, new immigration laws and other things like that.
With regards to the trade deals, does he have the leverage to renegotiate something, say, that would make things somewhat more balanced?
We're going to find out. This is one of his big things he talked about in the campaign, which is, we don't negotiate well. We give too much away.
Yeah.
Now, his point is that when it comes to, there are two countries in question, really, are Mexico and China. Also, Japan didn't come up much during the campaign, but his advisors do talk about Japan as well. But he points out that, look, we are the biggest customer. We buy more of their stuff than anybody else in the world. That gives us a lot of leverage. Mm. Make a better deal in Trump's terms. And that's how this is going to go. He's going to say, look, if you want to continue to have access to the United States, and we are your biggest customer, you need to give us something more in return. That's going to be a test of whether we do have the leverage.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman about his story entitled, Here's What President Trump Might Actually Get Done. What about on the taxes front, Rick, individually? From a corporate tax standpoint, I presume there's a will to do it. Is there a way?
There is a way. In fact, Republicans in Congress, especially Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, have already developed fairly detailed proposals for cutting taxes. Now, there's a big difference between developing tax cut proposals when they are going to get vetoed by the president, and you can say just about anything you want. And when it suddenly becomes possible, because a new president will sign it. So the big issue here is going to be, how much are Republicans in Congress willing to add to the to budget deficits, annual deficits, and to the national debt in order to get these tax cuts? There is definitely a vocal minority that is very opposed to anything that makes the national debt any bigger. But nobody has, Trump does not have ways to pay for the tax cuts that he wants to impose, and the usual claim is, oh, if we cut taxes, the economy will grow by more and the government will be pulling in more revenue at some point in the future. That has not actually panned out the few times we've actually tried it. So that's going to be the big fighting point there.
When we talk about regulations, has anybody mentioned anything specific?
Yeah, rules that prevent fossil fuel companies from drilling for oil and gas in certain areas. Rules that have prevented pipelines from being built. So a lot of environmental rules, and this is part of Trump's plan to sort of supercharge the U.S. energy industry. We have to keep in mind that there are also state and local regulations that the president does not have the power to do anything about. So he can cut federal red tape for some industries. And he can certainly use the bully pulpit of the presidency to sort of go after states and cities. But, a lot of the rules that companies complain about are not so much federal rules, but state licensing requirements and things like that that Trump won't be able to do anything about.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. Coming up next, open enrollment and the small business impact. Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's one of America's top 10 for business, where 2,000 burdensome and unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years and is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Again, that's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. As you may have seen from materials at work, open enrollment season is underway. And when workers get their health plan information, many of them can expect higher out-of-pocket costs. As employers cope with rising health costs, Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Silverman says some are shifting more of the burden onto their workers, often in the form of health insurance plans that carry high deductibles. This may be something you're seeing at your small business. Rachel, what are you hearing?
This is a trend that it's a continuation of a trend that has been going on for a while, in which employers who are facing rising healthcare costs are shifting costs to workers in order to help manage overall healthcare costs. So healthcare costs for both employers and employees are rising about 6% a year, and some of those costs are being shifted to employees themselves. And it's being shifted in a couple of ways. One is the most salient way is higher deductibles. So premiums, which is what most of us think of when we think about health insurance, are actually rising, but not as much as they have in years past. For a family plan, I think they're rising about 3%. But deductibles have risen much more quickly. And now it's a pretty surprising statistic, but over half of American workers with single health care coverage now face a deductible of over $1,000, which is pretty high for a lot of employees.
My goodness. All right. So what's to stop, I guess, workers from continuing to take this hit?
Yeah. So it's a really tough conundrum. The good news, and there is good news, is that while health care costs are still rising, they're actually rising at a pretty flat rate. So they're rising about 6% a year overall for both employers and employees, but the rate of increase has stayed flat. So it's, you know, it was 6% last year, it was 6% the year before. So that's good news, if there is one. The bad news is that that's still more than twice the rate of inflation. Yeah. And wage increases. So, you know, healthcare costs are going up, and, you know, there really isn't a good answer to this. This is, you know, great economists and politicians have been spending a lot of time trying to figure out ways to contain health costs. And while they are not rising as quickly as they have in the past, they're still rising. And that's, you know, certainly problematic for many workers and employers.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Silverman. Her story is called Employers Shift Higher Healthcare Costs to Workers. So what are some of the things, I guess, that, I don't know, employees could do or things that are being done to try to manage this on your own?
Yeah, so one of the most striking reasons for this rise in health costs is a rise in drug costs. And that's something that is hitting both employers and employees very, very deeply in their wallets. And so employers are issuing a whole bunch of measures that are really going to affect workers this year or this upcoming year, and they're going to start open enrollment period. And these measures are being done to help contain drug costs. Which are, as I said, going up really, really quickly. Specialty drug costs are going up, I think more than 16%. It's a really, really high number. And so one of the things that employees are going to see are a lot stricter protocols when it comes to getting prescription drugs, including possibly paying the difference between a generic and a brand name drug out of pocket, or getting prior authorizations from their insurance companies in order to be allowed to fill a prescription, or what's called step therapy, which is trying a certain amount of a drug before it's increased. So there are a whole other bunch of steps that employees are going to face in order to help limit these drug costs.
Thanks, Rachel. Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Bachman. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, as well as on places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Those are also places where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Also, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. It's free publicity for you, inspiration and tips for others, almost like a small business forum, right? Ideas sharing. Email me at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.